again want to greet you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord, the good news that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. In Matthew chapter 1, talking about Mary in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In Luke, it says that he will be called Emmanuel. Let's just turn to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Verse 1 and 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Jesus came to seek and to save people from their sins. That is one of the things that is often missed. And it's such a blessing. Sometimes we even overlook this. We say that we are responsible, and we are, for our own actions. But man has an enemy. And that man's enemy is the devil. And that devil holds us and blinds us and maims us. He is the owner of sin and death in this world. But Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to give us the opportunity to make the choice again to follow him. We look around this world, and the things that are going on, things happen almost every day. There's another major, major thing that happens in the world. Sometimes can't even get the day out until something else is going on. The last year or so, last couple of years, there's been 3 earthquakes that have not only killed thousands, but tens of thousands of people. Tsunamis, volcanoes. This earth is melting down. Weary of the burden of sin. The curse of sin is weighing on this world, and it's falling apart. just like an old man getting old. Just can't do what it used to do. And we start having sickness and aches and pains and disease because it's getting old. Because of sin. This world is coming to an end. Men trying everywhere desperately to have peace on earth. Trying to right a few wrongs, seemingly. And it just seems like everywhere. I don't know how many places they're naming off that are having rebellions. That they're trying to overthrow their leaders. How many wars that this country is already in and now started another one. We're coming to the end of the world. This world is coming to an end, right in front of our faces. This is an exciting time for saints. Should be an exciting time living at this. Bible says that men's hearts will be failing them for fear. And if this world is all you have to hope for, whenever you hear of bad things, you just got to either close it out or you get afraid. What's the future hold? The debts are rising and going through the ceiling. The governments are in debt. They're going broke. All over the country, all over the world, nations are collapsing. I think if we could actually see the scope of what's going on right now, you'd think, what in the world's holding this place together? Things are falling apart here. Bible says, lift up your eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help. Jesus is going to return. And He's not going to be a help to the world. He's going to be a help to those who are ready to follow Him. Those who are willing, watching, and waiting to follow Him. He came to save that which is lost. I think of the time, sometimes I forget. I was in darkness. I was blinded by this world. I was concerned about what was happening because it affected my future. In this world, because I was concerned about my future in this world. I was blinded by the things of this world. Matthew. Chapter 9. just, this is a, there's a blessedness here. Jesus came onto the scene. He'd been preaching a little while. I'm just going to read here in verse 18, starting verse 18, chapter 9. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. It said in another place, well, this woman was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. She said she had sought the physicians. She had sought for help. She had spent all she had trying to be healed. We can look at this as a picture of sin in someone's life. They were bound by sin. Something in their life just had a hold of them. And she spent 12 years with this issue of blood, with this sin. She had a sickness, a picture of sin. And she had done all she could. And after she had done all she could, she said, she heard about this man named Jesus. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. We glory, people glory that Jesus is able to heal people physically. And praise the Lord, He does, and He can. But more important, He can heal us, save us from our sin. Sometimes we put a lot of emphasis. It's up to you to want to seek Him. It's up to you to repent and to seek and to save. But when you repent and you turn to the Lord, it's Him that heals us. It's Him that heals us. And He does. And He can. You can study for 1,000 years. And you'll learn more with one touch. One glimpse of God and His glory than all your study combined. It's real. I was in darkness. And I got a hold of Jesus. I was in darkness. I was sitting on a church pew, dead as a doornail. But I sought the Lord and found Jesus. Sometimes we forget about that. There is a rejoicing, a praising the Lord that we found Him, the pearl of great price. We found someone that could heal us. When we wanted healed. And when Jesus departed thence, verse 27, well, now let's back up here. Verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place. For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. He went into the young maid, touched her on the hand. She arose from the dead. People are dead in their trespasses and sins. They're dead. Olin was talking about some of the preaching he was trying to do with some of his family. They don't understand what he's talking about. They're dead. They're willingly dead. They're not seeking anything more. We try to come up with the right words to talk to people, thinking if I could just say that right thing to someone, oh, they'd just get saved. It won't work. They're dead. They want to be dead. Jesus came to heal those who were dead, and that He came to seek and He came to call those to repentance that are sick and blind and halt. The good news is to those who want to turn from this world. We can talk to people all we want with worldly wisdom, with Bible wisdom. But it takes Jesus. And it takes them having to hear Jesus calling them and them responding to that call to find any help. Someone will not hear the Spirit of grace that brings salvation. The reproof of their life with a desire to be living godly in Christ Jesus, there's no hope for them. And there's nothing that you can say or do that will convince them. Our message to this world is that Jesus is going to judge it. his brothers said, after a while, they got tired of listening to him, and they finally just said, you're just judging us, just like they were from the world. Just like the world says to us whenever we're standing on the streets. That's one of the most popular messages. They're taking the message of God and turning that into, you're just judging me. They're making the Word of God of none effect. They feel condemned. They feel like you're judging us. So they cry out what's in their heart. You're judging us. Because they won't hear the Spirit of grace. There's no desire for seeking after truth with their whole heart. Bible says we're going to judge angels. You and I, those who are faithful, are going to judge this world with the Lord. It doesn't matter what they say. Faith. Thy faith. Where is our faith? Where is our faith? I'm not talking about getting every little thing just right. It's trusting God. That's one song we sang. Trusting Him who knows it all. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's not my concern. I trust in the one that knows it all. He's a know-it-all. That's who I want to trust. Someone that knows it all. When Jesus departed thence, verse 27, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Blind men, they couldn't see, but they got to Jesus, and he healed them. You see, when Jesus heals us, He gives us the opportunity to see again. I don't believe there's one person that's healed today that isn't healed, but because Jesus Christ came and set the captives free. There's not one miracle that goes on about healing if it weren't for Jesus. Jesus is the healer. And He heals the good and the bad. He heals sinners. He sets sinners free from their bad habits. He can set alcoholics free. He can set smokers free. He can set you free from whatever you're bound in. You may have a great struggle getting set free some of it. He may leave some of it for you to find out. But anybody who's healed today of anything is healed because Jesus allows it. Because He's overcome sickness and death and blindness. And He heals people so that they can have an opportunity to make a free will choice of whether they're going to follow Him or not. And this is where most people fall down. They look at that healing as being saved. They look at that healing as a point of salvation. And they are saved from that sickness. They've still got a choice in their heart whether they're going to rise up and follow or not. It's part of the plan that Jesus came and He went around healing people, showing people who He was. And when they were healed and were of a sound mind and body, He said, "All right, here's my gospel. Rise up and follow me. Forsake this world and follow me." It all fits. It isn't just you doing it. And it isn't just Jesus doing it. You have a part in it. He's not going to go against your will for one second. But He'll give you the chance to plant your feet on solid rock and say, "There's the way. If you want it, go get it." He'll set you free. He'll deliver you. He'll clean you up. And then He said, "There's the way. Walk in it." He's not going to make you do it. He came to save us. He came to deliver us. And there's nobody going to be saved except for Him doing it. But once He calls us out, He sets us just like He did Adam and Eve. He gave them the opportunity. Here's the way. Are you going to love me with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength? Or are you going to turn back to this world? Are you going to fall back where it's easy? You're going to turn away. Their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they went about, spread abroad his fame in all that country. I don't think they obeyed him. They were tickled to death that they were healed, that they could see. But I don't see where these people ever became apostles. They weren't of the 12 that were called to be apostles. He's looking for people that after they're healed are going to rise up and follow him. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." They're still healing in Jesus. But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of devils." And Jesus went about all the city and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I don't know of an account where someone didn't come to Jesus and he didn't heal them. Everyone that got to him, that turned to him, and got a hold of him, was set free. Does that mean everyone that comes to him today, we're not going to have any sickness? We're not going to have any troubles? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But he still heals. Do I understand all of it? No, sure don't. It's not science. Science is based on laws that are established and are solid as a rock so that they can build a case on. But at the very heart of science, there's no allowance for God. Because science has to be built, true science, or what they call science, on things that are based on things that are that we can do studies on, that are consistent, that there's a law established, there's a pattern established. You throw God in the mix and he throws the pattern out the window. Man can't understand all those things. Science is based on building a case and building blocks, building boxes. This fits in here, that fits in there. God comes and opens all the boxes. They don't, not against what people have learned, but it's still, it all still comes back to God. Man is just trying to figure out some of the laws that God has established. But then they forget the God that established them, that there is a spiritual realm in it too. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Healing. Jesus came to bring healing. To have healing, we've got to get to the healer. It's because of the healer that we can be healed. And it's the sick that Jesus came to heal. It's the blind that Jesus came to heal. After we've been healed, there's often scars left. Do you know the blessed thing about a scar? It's because there was healing. The only, if we've been healed, oftentimes there's a scar. We got to be hurt sometimes to see if we're going to be healed. And if we live our lives without getting any wounds, I just read and look and I see people, and I've observed people in my observation of things, that people who ever amount to anything have a lot of scars. They have a lot of scars. And the reason they have scars is because they've allowed healing. Show me someone without scars. They haven't done very much. They haven't done very much. And probably never will. There's a lot of people got another problem, that they're running around with open wounds and they've put little band-aids on them, trying to make people think that they've been healed. See, you and I can go through anything. we survive. We can go through anything. And we can either keep nursing that wound and keep it open, maybe cover it up a little bit and just look at it once in a while and let it just fester and grow. Or we can bring it to the healer and be healed. It don't matter what you've been through in your life. I don't care what it is. What kind of tragedy, what kind of abuse, what kind of anything that's ever happened in your life. If you let it heal, it'll scar. But it'll be healed. And it'll make you strong. But if you don't let it heal, the healer's standing there waiting to heal it. If you'd rather hang on to it, if you'd rather keep a hold of it, you can blame somebody for all your problems. You can whine, cry, and complain. You can wish you could get even. Or you can be healed. As long as you keep babying yourself, it'll never heal. That's the difference between being scarred for life you get a scar for life. Praise the Lord. The opposite of that is not letting it heal. There's nothing but death in that. When you get a few scars, you're ready for life. Jesus came to heal us. That healing is a blessing. There's some scars still there. That's because they've been healed. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. It don't matter what happens to this world. It don't matter what happens to you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What a blessing. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Find comfort in that. Humble yourself. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus is trying to seek and to save that which is lost. Satan is looking for someone who doesn't want to be healed, that he may devour them. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same afflictions that are in your brethren are in the world. That chafing, that daily grind, the little problems that come up among people, same problems happen in the world. Same thing goes on. Everything man is man is man is man. There's nothing new under the sun. And this flesh, there comes affliction. There comes problems. There's the same things happen in our church as they do anywhere else. There's a difference. There's the same things happen in your life as you go through life. It rains on us. It rains on them. We can be healed. Jesus came to heal. The same afflictions were accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. James said Elias was a man that was of the same passions as you are. Where is your commitment? Where is your commitment? Are you going to be healed so that you can jump back up and stay on that road Jesus pointed you on? Or whenever you get afflicted, are you going to let it trip you? When you get afflicted, when you face some of these afflictions, are you going to let it bog you down? As far as I know, there's no nothing else, nowhere else to turn but God's Word. Nowhere. Rise up. Be diligent. Be vigilant. Be sober. There's a devil out there just looking for you to get your dauber down. Just looking for you. I don't know whether dauber, whether you know. Don't get your dauber down. I don't know what that means. Other than don't trip over your big pouty fat lip. Probably about the best way I'd know how to describe it. Don't get to whining and crying because you've got it rough, because somebody didn't do everything, somebody didn't come along and wipe your nose when you thought it needed wiped, somebody didn't come along and dry a little tear because you got a little tear in your eye. The devil's looking for that. He's seeking, just like Jesus is seeking that which would be healed. The devil's seeking for that which is still laid open. So that he can whisper a few things, a few thoughts. You know, a lion, you know how they operate? You think they go after the strongest of the herd? Anything I know about the predators in the wild, they look for something that's limping first. They look for something off by itself. They look for something that's a little weak. It ain't quite keeping up. They try to single it out. You better get healed. Keep nursing an open wound. One of these two is going to find you. Jesus will heal you. Satan will be glad to come along and lick your wound too. Pretty soon he'll have a tooth in it. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren and in the world. Praise God, we have overcome the world. And in the end, praise God, we overcame the world. But we're not to the end yet. This is the beginning of sorrows. We're we're still right in the middle of it. It's happening all around us. Remember where He brought you from. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of opportunities for us to be faithful, to be found faithful. Just often think of King David, the time that kings ought to be going off to war, he decided he wouldn't go. He fell into sin with Bathsheba. Whenever we neglect doing what we're supposed to be doing, Satan's just there waiting for us. I think that's why there's so much fussing in so many different churches, so much fighting. They're not going into the world. Matthew, where it says, go into all the world. Go ye therefore into all the world. Sometimes we forget that all the world is right here in Monette. As you go into all the world. You don't have to travel around in every little country in the world. The world's right here. You take Jesus right into where you're going. Take Him with you. People want to isolate themselves. Go hide in a nice little safe place. Wrap up what you got, put it in a napkin, go bury it. Go be a light right where you're at. Go into the world with the King. You start looking for someone who wants to be healed. Seek and save that which is lost, like your Lord did. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Help us draw nigh unto You and cast our cares, spend our time praying, Father, for direction and for wisdom. Father, help us watch and pray. We don't know when You will return. Help us be found faithful when You do. In Jesus' name. they'd like to share. Lame, lest the lame be turned out of the way. If you're lame, you can't work. We ain't got no use for you. We had a fellow that was helping us this week, broke his hand, and we were pounding fence posts. There's no work for him with that broken hand. I mean, you would just had to turn him away. Because, I mean, give him the lame were turned out of the way. Got to be healed. There's no work for the lame, the sick, until they're healed. And they've got a scar. They may have a lamp, or they may have a little something still. They can still work now because they're healed. Right. Amen. It's a blessing for an opportunity to testify and just say, I want to thank the Lord for what He did.